Tremendous man of God, just loves the Lord, just a joy to be around. And you give your attention to the Word of God this morning. Again, if God speaks to your heart, don't sit there like a knot on a log. Let's let the Lord do something in your life this morning.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. I tell you what, it has been good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. And it's been a blessing. Seeing everybody again and being around folks. And hey, Keith, good to see you, buddy. Amen. And I remember when I brought Keith his first soccer ball. Amen. And I remember that. You still have that? You lost it. And that was it. Thanks a lot. I paid a lot of money for that soccer ball. Oh, my. Now I got bitterness in my heart before I preach. Amen. Amen. It's a blessing to be here this morning. I've enjoyed it, preacher. I've enjoyed just being here and being around my family. Y'all are my family, and we have so many memories, and maybe some you'd like to forget. Amen. But we sure saw a lot of souls saved through the years. Amen. I want to thank you again, preacher, for letting me be here. I think about Rick. I've known Rick a long time, and I've known all about him, and we've been friends a long time. When Rick talking about he's getting forgetful, and I know exactly how he feels. Amen. And like I said the other night, is how many of you are having that problem? You having that problem? Well, this is exciting because you'll forget my sermon before you get out. Amen. I think about it's not a problem though. The good thing about it, if you start being forgetful, you can hide your own Easter eggs. Can I have amen? Hey. I remember you, and we laugh about that, preacher, but years ago when I hid my kids' Easter egg, a few years ago I hid their Easter egg, and they kept saying, Pawpaw, where's the eggs? Well, I couldn't remember where I put them, amen? And so my son found them next day when he mowed the yard, amen? You heard about the three old sisters that lived together, and one got upstairs and got one foot in the bathtub and one out. And she said, am I getting in or I'm getting out? Then one old sister got halfway up the stairs, you know, and stopped. And she said, am I going up or am I going down? And the other old sister sat at the kitchen table. She said, boy, I sure am glad I'm not forgetful. Like them. Knock on wood. She knocked on the kitchen table. She said, was that the front door or the back door? Amen. And that's about the way I'm getting. Amen. It's a blessing to be here today. And I'm so glad to have my sweetheart with me and my wife and thank the Lord. And she's with me today. Amen. And God's been good to us. God's been good to us. We've seen God bless and do great mighty things. I want to talk to you in the next few moments because we're getting started a little bit late here and I want to get going but take your Bibles this morning and go to Matthew chapter 27. I just want to talk to you next few moments about something that I believe is important this morning. And Matthew 27, and let's look in verse 15. And let's stand out of respect to the Word of God this morning, if you can, and if your health permits for you to stand. And And verse 15 of Matthew 27, verse 15. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. And therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate saith unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you? And Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ. For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. In verse 19, and when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, talking about Jesus, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude, and they should ask Barabbas and destroyed Jesus. And the governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. But this is the verse that I want you to see this morning, verse 22. And Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus? Which is called Christ. I want to talk to you this morning on what are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with him? I want to talk to you about it this morning. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you now for all you've done. And Lord, I sure need your help this morning. I need your power. I need your strength. Can't do it without you, Lord. Can't even breathe without you. Now, Lord, I pray now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll fill me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. Would you take complete control of me? That when it's all said and done, I won't even know what I said because you are in complete control. And I promise you, Lord, whatever's done today in this building, I promise you that you'll get all the glory because you deserve every bit of it. And I praise you and I praise your wonderful name, your holy, wonderful, magnificent, almighty name, Jesus. Amen and amen. You may be seated there. I have learned in life that everything you do in life calls for a decision. Can I have amen?
Amen.
When you were born, you had to start making decisions. I mean, really, you can make a decision whether you want to cry or not. I think about as a young kid, I made decisions. I remember making decisions I shouldn't have made. And my daddy made sure I shouldn't have made those. Can I have a vent? Like I remember the first time I smoked. I snuck up on my best friend's roof and we decided we were going to try smoking. We got up, you say, well, you know better than that. I know, but we raised it, so I thought it's all right to smoke it. Can I have amen? Where I come from, we worked in tobacco fields most of my childhood. And all I saw people smoking, dip it, chew it, and spit it. Amen? And so we thought we're going to be big and we're going to smoke. So we climbed up. I was in the fourth grade. I can tell you what happened because I remember the results of it. Can I have amen? And I climbed up on Lester. He was my best friend. He was red-headed, freckle-faced boy. And Lester and I were on top of the roof. Well, his grandma came out, and she thought the house was on fire. She saw smoke coming out off the top of that garage roof. They had over a garage there. Well, Lester and I, we were puffing away. Sending smoke signals. Amen. And all of a sudden, we saw a ladder come against the roof. And we knew, this ain't good. This is not good. And all of a sudden, this man crawled up there. And he was a fireman. Grandma had called the fire department. She thought the house was on fire. Amen. And then guess what? We got caught. Amen. Well, needless to say that they had telephones back then too. Amen. And they called my mama. And one thing my mom always said, you just wait till your dad gets home. And all I prayed, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. But I will tell you, that day was the day that I smoked at both ends. Can I have amen? Amen. I want to tell you, I made that decision. Can I have amen? You make decisions all your life. You see where you work, where you're going to, when you're growing up, you teenagers, you make decisions. You make decisions who you're going to hang out with. You make decisions who you're going to communicate with. You make decisions in your own life who you want to be around. Amen? You make decisions what you want to wear. You make decisions on what color you like. You make decisions on, you make decisions where you're going to get your license or not. You make decisions when you get to a certain age, where you're going to work at? Where you're going to go to college? What you going to do with your life? You make that decision. You do. Now parents try to guide you, but at the ultimate decision is yours. Is yours. Hey adults, you make the decision what you're going to do. Hey, you made a decision whether you're going to get up this morning. You didn't want to, but you got up. Amen. You made a decision where you're going to come to church or not today. Everybody in this room makes decisions every day. What you're going to wear, what you're going to put on, where you're going to work at. What time are you going to work today? Are you not going to work today? What church are you going to go to? Are you going to go to church? Are you going to pray today? Are you going to read your Bible today? You make that decision every day. Life is full of decisions all day long. All day long. Where are you going to eat? What are you going to eat? What you going to have for breakfast? What you going to have for lunch? What you going to have for dinner? What you going to eat all day? Amen. I like eating all day. Amen. And one meal a day all day. Amen. And so you make that decision. Well, here's the thing about it is I could go on and on and on the rest of the day talking about decisions we have to make all day long. But I want to say this, the ultimate decision though, is what are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus in your life? What are you going to do? Well, let me ask you four things this morning. I'd like to ask you four things. Will you do this for Jesus? Will you do this for Jesus? One of them I hit on a little bit in Sunday school. And the first one is this. Will you love Him? Will you love Him? Take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 22. I want to show you verses here. In Matthew 22, of course, this is when Jesus was getting ready to, or Jesus was being tempted by the lawyer and the Pharisees. And by the way, the Pharisees got them a lawyer to do their dirty work. Can I have amen? Now, boy, that sounds familiar, don't it? But the Pharisees asked the lawyer to question Jesus. So what did he do? Look in verse 36, of chapter 22. He said, Master, with the question he asked Jesus, Master, what is the greatest commandment of the law. Now, why did he ask Jesus this question? I'll tell you why he asked Jesus this question. He's trying to trip Jesus up. He's trying to catch him off guard. And by the way, you can never come to wits with Jesus. Amen. You can never outwit him. Can I have amen or outwit Jesus? He's all knowing. He's all powerful. Amen. And so they asked him. And what he was trying to do, he was trying to get him to name one law so that he would say, you're saying that's the most important, so the rest of them are not important. But Jesus knew how to answer that. He knew how to answer that. Look what he said in verse 37. And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Now he didn't say it's the greatest. Amen. He just said it's the great command. The great command. Now look what he said also. He said, and the second is likened to thou shalt love the neighbor as thy. See, he didn't just say one law. He said, and the second's like it. And guess what? The third's like it. And the fourth's like it. And the fifth's like it. He didn't go on through it, but that's basically what he's doing here. He's not going to answer just one. But look what he said in verse 40. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Hang all the law and the prophets. Now, he didn't say forget them or do away with them. He said all the rest of the law can be hung on this one. You know why he said that? Because he knew if you love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, the rest of the law is no problem. No problem. You don't have a problem obeying when you love something. Can I have amen? You don't have a problem following something when you love something. Yeah, amen. So if you love the Lord thy God, what he's saying is, if you love God, you're not going to have a problem with fornication. If you love God, you're not going to have a problem with adultery. If you love God, you're not going to have a problem with lying. If you love God, you know, hey, when you love somebody, you'll do anything for them. You'll do anything for them. I remember the first time I saw my wife preaching. I mean, I knew it was God's will. I knew it. Soon as I saw her, my heart started doing this. Can I have amen? My heart started doing that. Matter of fact, I saw hearts. Can I have amen? I even saw little naked babies flying around with a bow, amen, shooting arrows, amen. I guess you call that Cupids, amen. I don't know what it is. But you know what? I knew it was God's will. Brother David, I knew it was God's will. You say, how do you know? Because it was in Cracker Barrel. Can I have amen? You know it's got to be God's will if it's in Cracker Barrel, amen. But you know what? When I married her, I committed myself to her. And I said, honey, I'm committing myself to you because I love you with all my heart. That's the reason why when the doctor walked in this past year and he walked in and said, your wife's going to be blind for 3 months and you're going to have to make a decision. You're going to she's going to have 24/7 care. Somebody's going to have to be right there with her, guiding her everywhere she goes. And you're going to have to be right there. And he said, you only have two choices, preacher. I know you travel all the time. You either got to come off the road and take care of her, or we're going to have to put her in a home somewhere, like a rehab home, where they can take care of you. Don't have anybody take care of you. I said, Doc, that's no question what's going to happen there. I said, I'm coming off the road. I know if I could take care of a dying wife for 2 years, I believe I could take care of this wife. Can I have amen? And for 3 months, I believe I could do that. And I said, there's no question about that, Doc. We don't even have to question what's going to happen. Now, I wasn't going to put her in a home. Now, she would have put me in a home, but I wouldn't, amen. But I wouldn't have put her in home. Amen. But the thing about it, you know why? Because I love her. It didn't matter what, you know what happens to an evangelist when he comes off the road? Amen. You know what evangelists come off the road? No meetings. No moonah. No moolah. Can I have amen? You don't get paid. Amen. But I didn't have to pray about it. I didn't have to pray about it. Amen. I didn't say, well, let me pray about it. No, sir, everybody. There was no question what I was going to do. You know why? Because I love her. Amen. And thank God this church right here sent us a generous love off. I mean, man, I just cried when I got that thing, preacher. I mean, it just moved my heart. And I thank God for it. Amen. But you know what? But I didn't know I was going to get that. Amen. I didn't know all that. All I knew is I love that woman no matter what the price is, no matter what cost is, no matter how hard it is. And buddy, let me tell you something. Like I said this morning, if you love God with all your heart, you don't care how tough it is. You don't care how hard it is. You don't care what the price is. You'll serve Him with all your heart. You don't care if you're willing to give your life. You're willing to die for Jesus. Amen. You're willing to give everything you got up for the Lord. Amen. And I believe this morning that what I'm asking you, will you love Him? You know, you know what? If you love Him, you'll do anything for God. Can I have amen? Amen. Hey, so first of all, will you love Him? Will you love Him? He's there. He wants you to love Him. He wants you to care for Him. Can I have amen?
Sure.
He said, will you love me? Hey, you remember He asked Peter? You remember He asked Peter? He said, Peter, do you love me?
Right.
You remember that? He did it again. He said, Peter, do you love me? And of course, Peter said, oh, Lord, you know I love you. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Hey, you know what? God wants to see if you really love Him. Can I have amen? God wants to see if you really love Him. And you know what's involved with love? Sacrifice. Sacrifice. Being willing to give up. Willing to go the extra mile. Willing to give it all. Whatever it takes. Boy, there's times I pulled off away from my house and man, I don't want to leave my sweetheart, preacher. And I got to go clean across the country to preach somewhere. And she's standing there, there's times I've seen her stand there in tears. I don't know if it's tears of joy or what. But anyway, I'm leaving. And tears welling up my, and I said, Lord, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. But then all of a sudden I get to thinking what He did for me.
Right.
And also I get thinking about Calvary. And I think about what Jesus did for me. And I said, Lord, it's no problem. I'll go for You, Lord. I'll go wherever You want me to go. I'll sleep wherever You want me to sleep, Lord. I'll stay where You are. I'll go to any mission field. I'll go anywhere, God. I just love You. Amen. I want to go where You want me to go.
Amen.
And buddy, I'm telling you, I'm asking you this morning, will you love Him? Jesus is asking the same question to you, just like He did Peter. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Oh, yes, I love you, Lord. Did you even tell Him today? Hello?
Right.
Hello? Is this thing working?
Yeah.
Can you? Some of you look like your mother-in-law just moved in with you. Amen. Amen. I get along good with my mother-in-law, preacher. I tell mother-in-law jokes all the time. I get along, but I get along great with my mother-in-law. I do. She's in heaven and I'm here on earth. Amen. But we get along great. Amen. Hey, let me tell you something. I make fun, but my mother-in-law was about killed in a church parking lot. And about run over, but then my truck stalled. Amen. But anyway, I just get. And but I'll move on. But anyway, I was. Hey, but can I tell you something? Do you love Him this morning?
Good.
Do you love Him? Did you tell Him? I mean, yeah, you know what? Did you even speak to God today?
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, did you even say hi?
Yeah.
Hey, you think me and that lady would have a good relationship if her and I never spoke to each other?
Right.
You know, the biggest thing in a marriage, communication. Amen. Did you know that? Hey, look at me. Don't bow your head. We're not praying. Amen. Look at me. I'm telling you, if you love God, you're going to talk to it.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Amen.
If you love God, you're going to talk to it.
Come on.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Buddy, did you even say good morning, Lord?
Yeah.
Or hi? Just hi. Or do you just rush out that door thinking about everything, your own problems? That and didn't carry them to the one that could take care of your own problems.
Right.
Can I have amen? Hey, you know what? Sometimes God just wants you to stop and tell him how much you love him. Did you know that? I remember years ago when I was Larry Brown's bus director out in Iowa. I was out in Iowa, there's nothing out there where he was at but cornfields, soybeans, and hogs. Amen. And I had to go to Des Moines, Iowa to visit somebody in the hospital. And I'm going down a back country road. And I remember one day, preacher, I pulled my vehicle over. And I got out of my vehicle. It was on the back road going to Des Moines, Iowa. And I got out of my vehicle and walked around and opened the door. I opened the door. Traffic was coming by, but I opened the door on the rider's side. And I looked up in the sky, and I said, God, I said, Lord, would you ride with me today? I said, Lord, I sure need you. I just need to tell you something. And I did. That's what I was doing. Now, I know people ride by thinking, what's wrong with that guy? And I remember I had some cracker crumbs in the seat. I remember that day I had some crackers. You know how Baptist preachers' cars are. They got cracker crumbs and stuff. And I reached over and brushed those crumbs out of the seat. And I said, Lord, is that okay? Is that okay for you? And I shut the door, preacher, and I got around, got in my car, and I started riding down the road. And I said, Lord, are you comfortable? I think he even put his seatbelt on. Because he wasn't sure about riding with me. But I said, Lord, I we're riding along and I said, Lord, are you comfortable? Are you okay? Is the heat okay, Lord? You say, you really did that? I did. He's real. And I got right down. I said, Lord, I just want to tell you, I'm not asking you for one thing. I said, I didn't want you to ride with me today, Lord, because I wanted to ask you for something to give to me. I said, but Lord, all I want to tell you is I love you.
Right.
I love you with all my heart. And I started weeping, brother. And me and God for the next 2 hours, amen, driving back them back country roads. Buddy, me and God had a good time, amen, a good time. When's the last time you just told God you love him?
Right.
You love him with all your heart.
Amen.
And I tell you, if you love somebody, you'll do anything for him.
Amen.
Number two, will you follow him? I say, will you follow him? Go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Is everybody okay?
Amen.
Amen. Isn't God good?
Amen.
All the time, isn't he? Matthew 4. Matthew 4. Look in Matthew 4, verse 18. Of course, this is now the temptation has come along here. But the Bible, I'll get to that in a minute, but this is now, he's calling these disciples in verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, what's the next word? Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Now listen, let me say this, is that I'm asking you, and the Lord's asking you, follow me. He asked those men, he said, follow me, I'll make you fishermen. And the Bible says, and straightway they left their nets. Do you know that was their occupation? Do you know that was their job? Do you know that's what provided for their families? And they straightway left it. By the way, they didn't go, it looks like they were pretty full-time following them after that. Till they died. They gave their life all the way for him. And you know what they did? They said, you know what? I'm going to give it up. I'm giving up these things and I'm going to follow you, Lord. Amen. I'm going to follow you and I'm going to give you my life and I'm going to follow you the rest of my life. Now, in order to follow, you must have a leader. Can I have amen? If you're going to follow, you must realize you got to have a right kind of leader. Well, God is the right kind of leader. The Lord is the right kind of leader. So, therefore, you must follow the right thing in order to get to the right place. Amen? So you must follow the right person to get to the right place where God wants you. Now, what happened was they immediately dropped their nets. They dropped what they were doing and they followed Jesus. But the problem is today we've got too many Christians that won't follow him because they got to take care of their own things. Their own hobbies. Their own stuff. Can I have amen? And they won't drop it and just say, hey, I'll tell you what, buddy, I thank God, buddy. I remember I played football 9 years. I love football. I love it. I love the broken noses. I love the broken arms. I love the blood. I love it all, long as it's not mine. Can I have amen? Well, I played football 9 years, but I remember South Troy-Ann. I played South Troy-Ann. That's when we had a good team, buddy. We going to championships and everything. But I remember that scout from Carolina coming into our office. I remember him walking in there and he was talking to me about coming and playing football for University of North Carolina. And, he had talked to me about playing in the full ride scholarship. And buddy, I'll tell you what, and of course back then, I weighed close to 300 pounds. You know, I benched about 450 pounds. I was a moose, preacher. I was a moose. I ate a lot of mama's biscuits. Can I have amen? And but I remember that, you know, that was offered to me. But I also remember that it wasn't long before that God had called me to preach. God had called me to preach. And I'd surrender my life to serve God and to follow Him. And I knew if I go to Carolina, that's not a preacher school. Do y'all understand that? Amen. But I'll tell you what, but I remember I came back in and told my coach, I said, Coach, I'm not taking that scholarship. I said, because God's called me to preach. And he knew I was a Christian. He knew it. I had won some of our coaches to the Lord, even won 30-some football players to Christ. Some of them are preachers today. Because I led them to Christ. Hey, but you know what? He knew what I was. And I looked at him and said, I can't do it, preacher, because I've decided to follow Jesus. Amen. I've decided to do what God wants me to do, not the fame and the glory and all that stuff. And I thank God. I thank God. But I remember that coach looking at me, you blanky to blank, that's the stupidest thing you've ever made, not deceived you or made. He called me a dirty name. I could say it, but I'm not. But he called me a filthy name. And he said, that's the stupidest decision you ever made in your life. I said, well, let me tell you something. It may be, but to me, it's not stupid to follow Jesus.
Right. Amen.
And buddy, I walked out of that office and gave that up, preacher. And buddy, I'm telling you, every one of them guys that went after that stuff, their lives are in a mess now. Their lives have been wrecked by sin and all that. And you're looking at a happy preacher right now because I'm following Jesus. Amen. It's no greater joy than to follow Jesus. Oh, I'm so glad. That I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The world before me. No, the cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. Hey, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I made that decision that day. Amen. What are you going to do? Young people, what are you going to do? Oh, you going to let the world lead you? You're going to let all that stuff lead you down a trail that'll wreck your life? How stupid. How stupid is that? But I'm going to tell you, you'll be the most successful person in the world if you'll follow Jesus. Can I have amen? I'm telling you, hey, number three, let me say this. Will you serve Him? I said, will you serve Him? Matthew, go to Matthew chapter 4. Look in verse 8. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. And again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain. And showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And this is the devil tempted. By the way, he's tempting Jesus. If he would tempt Jesus, don't you think he'd tempt you? By the way, devil always likes going over after a weaker vessel. And Jesus is stronger than anybody. But he went after him. He went after, and he'll come after the weak too. And then verse 9, and he saith unto them, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And then said Jesus, look what he said, then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thy what? Serve. Take your Bibles and go real quick to Matthew chapter 6. Look in Matthew chapter 6. And look in verse 24. The Bible says no man can what? Serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other. Or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now Jesus said that. Amen? I said Jesus said that. So why do you think you can do it? Why do you think that you can serve the God of this world, money, things, riches of this world, and serve God too at the same time? How are you going to do that? When that becomes your God and that's all you think about is what you got in your bank account. Hello? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, then all these things shall be added unto you. Right. Folks, everything I got, God gave to me. And I didn't go after it. Preacher, the home I live in, I didn't go after it. God gave it to me. God sent me men like Brother Dave Cranfield. God sent me men that gave their heart and their love to help me build my home. You came out there. Broke your back, but you came. Amen. But I mean, God, everything, I didn't get up one morning and say, man, I love to have a nice place. My dad gave me the property. My dad gave me about an acre and a half property there. Beautiful place. I mean, God gave it to me, preacher. God gave it to me. I'm not bragging. I didn't go looking for it. I went to the bank and they laughed at me when I tried to borrow money to build it. They laughed at me. They said, let me see you pay. I said, okay. They laughed at my pay. They laughed. They said, preacher, you know, you're an evangelist. And when you go to churches, sometimes it costs you more to get there than what they give you. And there's some church I'm still looking for the love offer. Amen. And they look at that kind of stuff. They where in the world that come from? Where's that going to come from? You know what I'm saying? Where's the money? I don't know. Hey, but I go to the bank now. They won't lend me money. I say, no, I like God's interest. Can I have amen? I like God's interest payment. Amen. Hey, but look at me. You say, well, how did you get that? I'll tell you how. I just seek God with all my heart. I just stay busy winning souls and encouraging churches to go on for God and keep living for God. And all of a sudden I woke up one morning and looked around and said, oh my goodness, where did... I woke up and looked and I started looking at all the junk I've got. How many of you know what junk is? And I even thought, where did that come from? Look, the very clothes I got, God gave to me. God gave to me. Somebody gave me, help me buy these stuff. I'm not trying to get too personal, but the underwear and socks I got on, somebody gave to me. My kids. For Christmas, that's all I get. Can I have amen? My kids used to come to me when they were young, and they say, hey, Daddy, what you want for Christmas? I don't want anything. They said, Daddy, you're Scrooge. I said, yeah, I know. I know, because I got to pay for it. Because you're going, and the next question is, I need some money to buy it, Daddy. I always wondered why Daddy didn't want anything for Christmas. Now I know why. Can I have amen? Amen. And so what I'm saying is, all you need to worry about is serving Him. It's serving Him. Now, will you serve Him? Will you serve Him? I said serve Him. Amen. Just serve Him. Did you know you can follow but not serve? Did you know you can follow and not serve? Judas did. Judas, it was not in Judas's heart to serve the Lord. Can I have amen? He followed him because I believe he was curious about everything and trying to see what's going on here. But we saw what Judas did. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm saying what did Judas trade for Jesus? Money. That's where his heart was. That's where his heart was. Hey, listen to it. Did you know you can go to church and not serve Him? Did you know you can... hello? Is this thing working? Can y'all hear me? Did you know you can go to church and not serve Him? Did you know you can go to church and not tithe? Did you know you can go to church and not soul win? And not serve Him? Did you know that you can go to church and not read your Bible? You can follow and not serve. You can be a church member and not serve. Did you know you can pray? You can read your Bible and not go somewhere, and you can go to church and not pray. You can be right in with everybody and not pray. Don't look at me that way. You can follow and not serve. You can be here and not serve. And folks, all I'm trying to say is that what would happen if we decide that we're going to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and love Him with all thy heart and follow Him and serve Him and pray and read our Bibles and love God. What in the world do you think? Hey, I'm telling you, He's there. You can serve Him. You can love Him. You can follow Him. He's right there. What are you going to do with Him? What are you going to do with Him? Look what He did for you. Look what He's done for you. Then why not do those things? He's there. He said, what are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with Him? What do you want to do with Him? Amen? And then the last thing of all, I want to say this, is will you let Him save you? Will you let Him save you? Do you realize that Jesus went through great pain on that cross? I mean, think about it. Just take a minute and think about what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Think of how He was beaten and He was spit upon. I mean, they took that cat of nine tails and literally shredded His body like a piece of hamburger. I'm telling you, you know what they did? They took that cat of nine tails and had them hooks and them glass and rock hooks on the end of those straps. And every time that they said the Roman soldier would take that over and it would come down and he'd have to swing it over and come down on the victim, and it would hook that person, and then they would drag it. They would drag it through His body, and when they would drag it through His body, it would rip their body, slice their body open. It was I was watching the History Channel one time, and they had a thing on there about Jesus, preacher, and they had a pork shoulder, it had skin on it, so, and within less than nine times, they shredded that piece of pork. Jesus, it was believed, hit 35 to 39 times, Jesus was hit with that whipped. And can you imagine what it did? It literally, they believed that it went on into the inner parts of His body, into the inner parts, organs of His body, and cut His slice and His organs in His body. I don't think any man could have lived through that. The Bible says that His body was so marred, you couldn't even recognize Him. You couldn't even recognize Him. And then He took that old rug, then they took that crown of thorns with those penny nail briars on there, you know, long nail. I've seen the cross from the thorns from Israel. And they took that thing and they pulled it down. When they did, it pierced His brows. And He took that old heavy cross and He drug it up to Golgotha, that heavy rocky road, Golgotha. And that thing's banging deeper, those thorns deeper into His head and rubbing His raw back to shred it open. And then they even smoked Him in the head with a reed and mocked Him and cursed Him and spit on Him. And I'm talking about God. That's who I'm talking about. And then they took Him and they nailed it. They took those spikes and went through this part of His hand. Because if they went through this part when they dropped, it would have ripped His hands open. But they went through the top of His feet and took those spikes, long spikes, and just took that hammer and just drove that spike down into His through His feet. And then the Bible says as they raised that cross up, that literally it jarred. It literally the cross, the weight of that cross went into that hole that according to Psalms 22, it dislocated every joint of His body. Didn't break a bone, because the Bible says not a bone would be broke, but His body was dislocated, His joints. And that, with all that pain and all that agony, brother and sister, He, with all, and not on top of that wasn't the worst pain. The worst pain is when they took mine and your sin, the sin of the whole world, and that knew no sin. He knew no sin. He took every sin that's ever been committed and ever will be committed and was placed on Him. The shame, the everything was placed on Him. I'm talking about the homosexual sin. I'm talking about adultery sin. I'm talking about fornication sin. I'm talking about lying. I'm talking about stealing. I'm talking about greed. I'm talking about everything that you could think of was placed on our Savior. Is everybody with me? And that day, with all that on top of him, with his own father turned his back on his own son. That's why he cried, Abba, Abba, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? And don't you know there was 10,000 angels ready at his command to come and wipe out the whole world. But Jesus, with all his love, all that love, all that pain, and all that agony pushed up on them dislocated knees, because many times they died from suffocation. They're slumped down, it's cutting that air passages off, so they'd have to push up on them spikes to get oxygen. And Jesus, I can see him pushing up on that cross and gasping for all the oxygen he can get. And he goes, oh. He said, Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What love! What love! And then he took our death payment, our hell payment, and he took it all on him. And the third day, he arose to show that he has victory over hell now. He's got victory over death. And now our sins are paid for. Amen. And now it's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's paid for. And you're sitting here this morning. And there's some of you sitting here and you don't know if you died. You're not 100% sure you're going to heaven. But you're going to walk out that door because of what I've been preaching on this weekend. Pride. You're afraid what people are going to think if you get saved this morning. But don't you know God loves you? And it's your choice now. You have a decision to make. You have two choices now today if you're not saved. You either can receive Christ as your Savior. If I was going to give you a gift, you got two choices. You either can receive it or reject it. You have a choice today. Are you going to receive Jesus Christ or are you going to walk out that door and go to hell? It's your choice. Your choice. It's your choice. What are you going to do with Jesus? He paid for every sin you've ever committed and ever will commit. You were not living when Jesus died on the cross. So he had to pay for all future sin. So that means every sin you commit next week's paid for. It's paid for. Now it's your choice. It's your choice. Your choice. I've said this many times. You've heard the story, but I wish you could have seen when my wife died. I wish every one of you could have been there. To see Bonnie die. Oh my goodness, she'd been in that coma for 4 days. And of course, Charity was clinging to her mama for 4 days. And all I heard Charity would say, Mama, it's okay, Mama. Just go on to heaven, Mama. They were best friends. Her and her mama were best friends. They always sided up against me. Especially when they went shopping. Amen. But they were best friends. And all I heard, my daughter, I didn't put food in my daughter's mouth and it just come out the side of her mouth. I tried to make her go to the bathroom. I said, honey, you need to go to the bathroom. This is not normal. Go to the bathroom. And she hung on to her mama. But I remember on October 29th at 5 minutes after 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning, we're all been there for 4 days, no sleep, hanging on to her by her side. About 15, 20 people in that room, and all of a sudden I heard my daughter say, Daddy! Daddy, look at Mama! I opened my eyes, and I looked over. I was right hanging on right by her side, and I raised my head. And when I looked, my wife Her eyes had popped open. She was grinning from ear to ear. I mean, she had the biggest grin on her face. And she just smiling. And everybody said, look at her. Look how happy she is. And all of a sudden my daughter said, Mama, what is it, Mama? What do you see, Mama? What is? Well, all of a sudden my wife started sitting up in the bed. She had a broken spine from her cancer. And she started sitting up in the bed and she's looking, preacher. She's looking like this. And like she could see something we couldn't see. Amen. And she's smiling from ear to ear. And all of a sudden she started trying to tell us something. She started moving her mouth, trying to tell us, I believe, what she saw. And then all of a sudden, she laid back, real peaceful. She reached over and took my daughter's hand. I got a picture of it. And she took her last breath and went to glory. And this is what I did. The moment she stopped her last breath, I went like this. She won! She won! No more pain, no more shots, no more medicine, no more cancer. Hey, it's all over. She won. Amen. And I'm telling you, it's all because of Jesus. Amen. It's all because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. And I can tell you another story. You've heard I preached here before. But when I was in Bible college, a young boy, I watched him scream out into eternity because he cussed me out when I tried to witness to him. He cussed his mama out. But me and his mama were in the hallway, preacher, and I've gripped, got my arms around. She's crying, I want my son to be a Christian. And all of a sudden, I heard that boy screaming out of that room at DeKalb General Hospital in Atlanta, Georgia. I heard that boy screaming. All of a sudden, he was going like, he was going, Mama! Mom! Oh no, Mom! Mom, they're giving me, Mom! Oh no! No! No, Mom! No! 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 No. That was it. Now you look at me. I'm not very smart. I'm not an educated fella. But I got enough sense to know if I'm going to die, I want to go the way my wife went. And if you're sitting here this morning and you're not saying, look, you might can fool your mama, you might can fool your daddy, you might can fool the preacher, you might can fool your husband, you might can fool your wife, but you cannot fool God. And you're going to face a holy God. And the question is, are you saved? He's there. He's right here. You can have him today. What are you going to do with him? You going to just walk out that door in your own pride? Do your own thing? Well, I'll do it one day. That's like walking with a time bomb. And you don't know when it's going to go off. You're playing roulette. You're playing roulette with your soul. And you're sitting here this morning. You say, preacher, I do not know for sure. I'm not 100% sure. If I die, I go to heaven. But I want to be sure. I want to be sure. Every head bowed, nobody looking.